America's need for old-time religion. There was a time when Israel was on the brink of destruction. God had sent his prophets again and again to warn them of their sinful way and warn them of the direction they were going, but not just doom and gloom, but also hope and an answer and a way to rectify the situation. And folks, we can read our Bibles and understand that Israel did not listen. I can't help but wonder, as preachers are mounting pulpits and preaching messages like this, is America listening? And are we going to end up the same way that Israel ended up, forcing the hand of God to bring judgment upon us? Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible in Jeremiah chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse number 9. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the basket. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. Think about that. Their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. Their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. And I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. By the way, verse 16, here's the hope. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I sent watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that as we look at this portion of Scripture, dear God, we're going to kind of go through it a verse at a time and lay some groundwork. And Lord, we can certainly look backwards. Historically, we can look backwards and see where Israel was. And then we can also see, Lord, the judgment that came upon the nation of Israel. Well, Lord, also we can look at this same portion of Scripture and we can take a step back and look around at the United States of America and our hearts are broken. Because so many things that you said about Israel during this time can be said, can accurately be said about the United States of America. Lord, for those of us that love you, it breaks our heart. For those of us that love our country, Lord, it breaks our heart. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help, Lord, the message, is not only is it preached to the people here, but as we, Lord, put it on our website and YouTube channel and different places. God, we need 1,000 preachers. We need 10,000. We need 100,000 preachers that will stand behind the pulpits and just call America back to God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This morning during our Sunday school hour, I preached and taught our 5th and 6th graders, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th graders, adult class, a lesson, what is old-time religion? What is old-time religion? For those of you that are tuning in on live stream and you expected to see Mike Holloway, Brother Holloway, because of the weather, I called and encouraged him not to try to make the trip, and they would have had to have driven clear down from Kokomo, and I didn't want to put them at risk, and with the cold weather and the amount of snow that they got up in that area there. And so I have the opportunity, I have the privilege, I feel very honored to be able to preach this morning on the subject of old-time religion. We talked about what is old-time religion. Old-time religion is simply biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity without apology. It's a brand of Christianity that endeavors to bring glory to a holy God by preaching the holy scriptures while striving to live a holy life as we carry out a holy and great commission. I don't know how to summarize it any more concisely or better than that, folks. Old-time religion is about holiness. It's about a holy God. Come on, it's about holy scriptures, the holy Bible. It's about living a holy life. It's about going out and trying to accomplish a holy cause, something that Jesus left for us to do. What is old-time religion? That's what it is. And you know what? Give me. Okay, you have to make your choice, but give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. America is in need of an old-fashioned dose of old-time religion. We need to go back and find these old paths that's talked about. Look in the scriptures, if you will. Let me lay the foundation. When, first of all, let me ask this question. When does a nation need old-time religion? Look at verse number 10. The Bible says in verse number 10, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? And behold, their ear is uncircumcised. And I'll get into the definition of that. I think you have an understanding of that. But what that simply is talking about is that their ears are so controlled by the flesh that they can't even hear me anymore. And I think, boy, is that a description of the United States of America? It goes on and says, and they cannot hearken. Behold, watch this. The word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. A reproach. And then it goes on to say that they have no delight in it. So why is it so hard to get people under the preaching of the word of God? You know why? Because they're so into the flesh that, you know what? They can't even hear the Bible. And you know what? It's such a reproach to the way that they want to live that they don't want to hear the Bible. The Bible says they have no delight in it. And so what will they do? They'll come into a church like this and just listen to things, folks, that everybody preached 50 years ago, 60 years ago. Come on, 100 years ago in America. I said this in Sunday school, but folks, maybe the Methodists, come on, the old Nazarenes and Baptists, maybe there were some things that we would differ on doctrinally here and there, but one thing we all agreed on was that we need to live a holy life. Amen. That holiness was important before the Lord. But here's a nation that had gotten to the point where they didn't want to hear the word of God. They cannot hear it. They don't want to hear it. They view the word of God as a reproach against them. I'm not going to go down to that blessed old Baptist church. You know what? He just talks people down. He just points out sin. He just goes after people on purpose. Well, folks, you don't have to do any of those things. Just preach the Bible. Come on, just preach the Bible nowadays. And you know what? It just broadsides just about everybody out there because we've accepted sin. And we're involved in so much sin. And we're so far away from God. And they just view Bible preaching as if it's a personal attack against them. And God did not designed Bible preaching to be an attack against you, but he did design it to bring conviction to you. Right. I talked last week about the fact that we're worshiping this idea of feelings, and that seems to be the basis. Feelings are more important than facts, and the idea of hurting somebody's feelings makes you a terrible person. I kept thinking about that this week, and I thought, you know, they keep saying, well, you know, so-and-so went to your church, but they got their feelings hurt. You know, somebody listened to a sermon online and they got their feelings hurt, so they, you know, leave a nasty message on my answering machine. And I'm sitting there thinking, folks, listen to me. Let me redefine that. That's not your feelings getting hurt. That's called old-fashioned Holy Spirit conviction. That's what it is. Okay? The Word of God's supposed to convict us. It's not always going to make us feel good. Sometimes it's going to make us feel bad, and we ought to feel bad. In the United States of America, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves for the way that we're living. And so when does a nation need old-time religion? Number one, when a nation refuses to hear the word of God. How about this? Verse 9, verse 11, verse 12. When a nation is on the brink of divine judgment, that's when we need old-time religion. And Jeremiah was that last of the last prophets. He was standing up. Listen, literally within days, come on, months of God's judgment coming upon a nation, and he's one of the last voices crying out and telling them to turn to God and to repent. And folks, listen to me. I believe that we are on the brink of judgment here in the United States of America.
Yes, sir.
In verse number 9, if you look down, it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall therefore glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gather into the baskets. Remember, we talked about this when we preached that out of the book of the Revelation. Same terminology is used in the gathering of the wicked to the battle of Armageddon. And folks, there comes a point in time where God's wrath, come on, his fury. Look at verse 11. Therefore, I am full of fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, and the aged with him, which is full of days. And I wonder how many people in Israel at that time said, are you kidding me? Come on, life has always been this way. Life is always going to be this way. And you know what? We're going to be okay. And yes, we have our ups and downs. But you know what? Come on, you're going to tell me that our households are going to be turned in unto others. That's verse number 12. And their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out mine hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. And folks, we need old time religion when a nation gets to the point where they think they're untouchable.
Right.
When they really stop believing the warnings of the prophets, the warnings of the preachers that say, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Our Lord is a consuming fire. And it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And you know what? People scorn it and laugh at it. Come on, late night comedians mock the ideal of holiness, mock the idea of God. I mean, every single day, folks, if you wanted to do a search, you could find somebody of supposed importance getting up and blaspheming the idea of God, blaspheming the idea of right, blaspheming the commandments of God. And you know what, folks? Listen, we are in a place where I believe we've brought ourselves. Come on, we have nobody to blame but us. We have brought ourselves to the brink of judgment in the United States of America. When does a nation need old-time religion? We need it right now in America. Right now we need it. Because I'm afraid if we don't turn soon, you know what? All of these prophetic verses are going to not going to be about Israel. It's going to be about us. Number 3, when does a nation need old-time religion? When a nation's people are given over to covetousness. Look at verse number 12. And their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and their together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land. For verse 13, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to
covetousness.
Folks, one of the things that I thought about this, I was meditating on it. And I remember Dad, in the last 10 years of him pastoring here, he preached so much against materialism.
Yes, sir.
And I was convicted when I read this, and I thought, you know, I don't think I've waved that banner enough. I don't think I've carried on that message enough, so prepare in 2024 to hear it, all right? Folks, you know what? We have become such a materialistic society. And I'm not against anybody having anything. I really mean this. And if you get something new, I don't want you to walk in feeling bad about it. I promise you I'll rejoice with you and be glad for you. But you know what, folks? The most important things are not things.
Yes, sir.
And I'm just afraid even in the Church of Jesus Christ, we've just lost this idea of contentment. You know, we've just always got to chase the next new thing. We have to have the next new thing, and we have to have the next new thing, and we want, and we covet, and we covet, and we finally get it. And about 10 days later, we're dissatisfied with it. And then we're turned around looking for the next thing that we're chasing, the next thing we're chasing. You know, young people, young men, listen to me. Some of you are getting into that, and you can spend the rest of your life chasing the next thing. And the devil will give you something new every single time.
Right.
And folks, listen to me. Man alive, listen, this life, it's a vapor. It appears for a short time, and then it vanishes away. And if you're not careful, you know, if you're going to just waste all your years just trying to collect things and collect things and collect things. And, you know, I say to every Christian, probably every once in a while, you ought to just go to an estate auction. It would do all of us good to go to an estate auction. I can't go to them anymore because I can't stop bidding, you know. Next thing you know, I'm buying everything. Covetous right here, you know. But you come to these estate auctions, and here's a couple, and maybe they've just recently passed. She went first, he went first, but now they're both gone, and all of a sudden, the families pick through what they want, and then they take everything that they've spent, 75, 80, 85 years collecting, and they shove it into the front yard, and set it on tables, and they open the barn doors, and two or three auctioneers are going out, and they're just selling everything off. And within a few minutes, you're watching everything that they spent a lifetime accumulating being carried over to trailers and put in the back of trucks and putting into the back seat of cars, and it all goes its separate ways. And folks, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? When a nation refuses to hear the word of God, it's time for old-time religion. When a nation is on the brink of divine judgment, we're in need of old-time religion. When a nation's people are given over to covetousness, we need old-time religion. Look at the rest of verse 13. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone, boy, this is so sad, everyone dealeth falsely. When does a nation need old-time religion? When a nation's spiritual leaders refuse to preach the truth. Brother, you look at the people that are the so-called spiritual leaders in America. You look at the mega churches and the ones that are drawing the crowds and selling the books and have the podcast and the money's flowing in. And listen to them. Do they ever stand up and talk about old-time religion? Do they ever tell America to repent and turn back to God? Are they willing to call out the sins of their day? Can you compare them in any way to a John the Baptist or an Elijah? And you know what? I hate to say this, but you know what? People are flocking to hear spiritual leaders. And you know what? They're just motivational speakers. They won't speak the truth. They won't say the truth. They're not living the truth. That's where America's at. Let me give you the last one. When does a nation need old-time religion? When a nation can commit abominations and not even blush. Look at verse 15. Did you catch that? Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, let's have a parade and celebrate it. Let's have a parade and celebrate it. Let's display our perverseness for the world to see and dare anybody to condemn it. Did you see that? Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down. Who said that? Saith the Lord. Saith the Lord. Amen. God's going to have the last say. God is going to have the last say. Let the heathen rage. Let the wicked imagine a vain thing. Go ahead, you know what? Glory in your debauchery and have your parades and mock the idea of holiness and decency. But God's going to have the last say. So when does a nation need old-time religion? Preacher, let's be more specific. Does America need old-time religion? Yes, it does. You know why? Because we're refusing to hear the word of God. I believe we're on the brink of divine judgment. I believe we've given ourselves over to covetousness. I believe our spiritual leaders are sold out to the devil.
Right.
And sold out to mammon. And refusing to preach the truth. And I believe that we are a nation that, you know what, can commit abominations and we don't even blush anymore. So where's that leave us, preacher? Well, thank God that, you know what, there can still be a remnant.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's look at verse number 16. Okay, all right. We can't change the world, and maybe we can't change the whole country, but what can I do? What can I do? How does an individual reclaim old-time religion? Look at this verse. Thus saith the Lord. Well, he's still speaking. Amen. This is still God's words. Stand ye in the ways and see. Let's just take that phrase first of all right? How does a nation reclaim old-time religion? Maybe 2024, people in this church just needs to say, preacher, I need to reclaim Bible Christianity. I need to embrace old-time religion. I need to stop drifting the way of the world. How do we do it? Stand ye in the ways in the ways and see. You know what that simply means if you study it out? Stop on the road that you're going down. Stop and consider where you are.
Amen.
See. See where that road you're on is leading you. See where you're going to end up if you keep going.
Amen.
Stand in the ways and see. Well, there's a lot of ways, young people, that are being offered to you. Come on, every one of you will come of age. One of you will have to pick a way one of these days, a way to walk. And the Bible identifies a lot of different ways. There's the sinful way. Proverbs chapter 1 warns us, my son, if sinners entice thee, come on, consent thou not. It says later on, verse 11, if they say, come with us, come with us. Hey, we're on the right path, come with us. Later on in verse 15, same portion, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. The sinful way, folks, the sinful way. Refrain thy foot from their path. Proverbs 4:19, listen, the way of the wicked is as darkness. Boy, I got stuck on that verse. The way of the wicked is as darkness. And I just pondered that. Folks, there's the sinful way. Hey, there's a lot of people walking the sinful way. There's a lot of people that's going to try to entice you young people to join them in walking the sinful way. Okay, so stand in the ways and see. You better stop and consider, am I on the right path? Am I this morning on that sinful way? How about the selfish way? Proverbs 14:14. Listen to this. The selfish way, Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Did you get that? The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Well, I want to make my decisions. Come on, it's my life. I want to do what's best for me. I want to choose my path. Listen, folks, sinful way. Selfish way. I think the most damaging sin of the last day is the sin of selfishness. The Bible says, in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And folks, listen to me. If you get on that selfish way, pretty soon it's going to be all about you and it's going to stop being about Jesus Christ. Think about that. Thank God there's, well, we could go through a lot more, but thank God there's the saintly way. The saintly way. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 8. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Now, we're going to talk about this way in just a minute. What do you mean when we're talking about old paths? Think about that. Come on. Sometimes we just say phrases and we don't think about what it's saying. I want you to get ahead of me, think a little bit. But there is a good way. There's a saintly way.
Yeah.
How about Proverbs 20:20? That thou mayest walk in the way of good men.
Yeah.
That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. And so, yeah, there's been a lot of people that have chosen a sinful way all through human history. Hey, that's the broad way. And lead it to destruction. There's a lot of people in America, even Christians, that are choosing the selfish way. I'm sorry, but every decision in their life is all about them. But thank God there are some folks still choosing that saintly way. So, first of all, we got to stand in the ways and see. Stop and consider the road you're on. See, take a minute, look, see, where is this road going? Is it where I really want to be? There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end, come on, that's where we're failing to consider. The end thereof is the ways of death.
Yes, sir.
And so, number one, we stand in the ways and see. Number two, we ask for the old path. Now, I love that phrase. I hope this verse is up here and during different times through the year, you look up there, and I hope your mind just ponders it a little bit. Young people, listen to me. If you're going to find the old paths, you're going to ask for them. Because
yeah.
If you follow the crowd, you'll never find them.
Right. Right. Amen.
Now, I mean, listen, you're going to have to purposefully seek out the old paths. The old paths must be sought. Right. Now, think about that. It says in that verse, come on, you can see it right there. It says, you got your Bible open. It says you got to ask for it. I don't know, Brother Nichols, how, you know, your experience, all the years there working with the young people in Sacramento, but you know, how many times do you feel like the majority of them, you're trying to chase them down and force the information into them? But thank God every once in a while you have that one that comes and asks for it. They seek the old paths. They want the old paths. They're asking the right questions. They're asking them to the right people. Think about that. Well, let me ask you a question. If you're going to find the old paths, and you got to ask, who you got to ask? Who are you going to ask? You know? Oh, I'm going to tell you, I promise you, this isn't just something I'm preaching. I think when you get to 60 and above, everybody thinks that when you're preaching about, you know, seeking the old men, seeking the old ways, everybody just thinks it's self-centered, you know. Well, you're just saying that because you want people to, us to come to you. And I'm thinking to myself, come on, get in the time machine with me. Come on, take me back to when I was 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Listen, Jerry Ross was asking, but I was not asking my peers what was right. I wasn't asking the world what was the right way to walk. I was seeking out the old men. I was seeking out the godly men. See, folks, they know where the old path is. You know why? Because they've walked in those old paths. Think about that. You're going to ask somebody. I'm going to ask you, young people, who's got your ear? Come on, young couples. Who's got your ear right now? You know, I start hearing people say certain things, and I think to myself, who are they listening to? Who's having influence on them? What website are they on? Come on, who's texting them? Is it people that are walking the old paths? Are those the ones that have the influence in your life? Are those the ones that you go and seek counsel from? Because if you don't, you're going to end up on the wrong path. Okay, I remember as a young preacher going over to Bible Baptist Church in Terre Haute. You know, not the same pastor that's there now, but you know what? Lee Robertson was preaching over there. And I remember me and my wife was over there. And we snuck in the back, just a young couple. Just starting out, still in our 20s. And the old preacher got done. And when he's done, he's standing up on the platform like this. And the people are all fellowshipping and they're talking. And here's Lee Robertson. Here is Lee Robertson. And he's sitting up there like this. Just sitting up here. And I told Cheryl, hey, let's go. Let's go. Why wasn't there a crowd? Why wasn't every young couple in that church trying to get to Lee Robertson? You know, when Dad transitioned into Pastor Emeritus, if you go back and listen to the very first Sunday I was pastor at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I stood in front of this church and I said, there's a lot of wisdom sitting over there on the second row.
Right.
Amen. Young ladies, there's a lot of wisdom sitting beside him. The worst thing in the world would be, while we still have them, for me seeing them sit there by themselves and nobody come over and asking them questions. Okay, kids, you're listening to somebody. Every one of us in this room, somebody's got your ear. Somebody's influencing the way you think. Somebody's trying to get you to walk some path. Okay? And if you want to walk the right path, you're going to need to seek out the right people. And if you'll seek out the right, that's what Jeremiah did. We're in Jeremiah, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, let's just back up a chapter, chapter 5. How about this? Let's look at verse number 1. Jeremiah had to make some choices. Who was going to influence Jeremiah? Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. Jeremiah 5:1. And see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment that seeketh the truth, then I will pardon it. And though they say, the Lord liveth. Young people, they can do the spiritual talk. And some of the people that have an influence in you can use that spiritual talk and drop them little verses, and you think, well, they must be spiritual. Well, look what it says right there. For though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore, I said, surely these are poor and they are foolish, for they know not the way. Aren't we talking about the way? Don't you have to ask for the right way? They don't know it. They don't know it. Not the hard-hearted ones. Not the ones that won't listen to God. Not the ones that, even though God is bringing judgment into their life, they just get harder and harder and stone-faced. He said, why are you going to that crowd? And so Jeremiah, he was smart. Not the way of the Lord. They know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. Now what Jeremiah is saying, verse number 5. Woo! Come on. I, again, a personal decision. 17-year-old boy, I decided I'm going to go find the old men. Amen. I'm going to listen to the ones that understand and have lived out old-time religion. Folks, listen to me. The men on that board that we got coming in here, they're not perfect. Not one of them's perfect, but I'm going to tell you, they've stood for old-time religion. Amen. That's who I want to bring in to influence the people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. Those are the ones that I chased down. Those are the ones I sought out. Grab my wife. Can you believe that? He's just standing up there. Let's go. And to be able to have stood there and asked Lee Robertson question after question after question. And I didn't want to dominate all of his time. And then to say, would you lay your hands upon me and would you have a word of prayer for me and my wife? See that old man, old gnarled hands, lay his hand upon each of our shoulders and pray and ask God's power and God's blessing on us. And if you want to go chase Joel Osteen, go chase Joel Osteen.
Oh, yeah.
You want to listen to Joyce Meyer's podcast, then go for it. But they don't know the old paths.
Amen.
They don't know the old paths. So first of all, you better ask yourself, okay, who am I asking? Who am I listening to? Who has my ear? The old paths must be sought. Number two, the old paths are not a new path. This is deep stuff. Well, we're going to get in deep now. Like I said, so many times we read words and phrases. What is it saying? Well, it's an old path. So let's look at the word old. Hey, did you see what this church is doing? This new thing and this new thing and this new thing and this new thing. You know, a lot of folks, not only don't want the old preachers influencing them, they don't want any old Christians in their church. I literally read an article from an evangelical that told me, I've decided the only way to change a church is to get rid of everyone 35 years and older because they're too stuck in their ways. Now here's a young punk. By the way, he said that about 15 years ago. He's over 35 now. So I'm going to go to his church and kick him out. Amen. I bet he thinks different now. He still wants everybody to listen to him now. Okay. But the arrogancy of that. That, you know, let's just get rid of the old people because they're so stuck in their ways. The only way I'm going to change the church. Why are you trying to change the church?
Yeah.
Change it into what?
Come on.
How different is that from this? Okay, come on. Ask for the old paths.
Yeah.
By the way, where is the good way?
Yeah.
That's the good way. But the old paths are not new paths. That doesn't mean that we can't introduce new ideas, start new ministries, folks. Don't go crazy over it. Anything and everything. We're talking about foundational changes. We're talking about shifting a church in a completely different direction. We're talking about walking away from the fundamentals of the faith. We're talking about, watch this new trend of we must become like the world to reach the world. Well, if you've become like the world in order to try to reach the world, you are not reaching the world. The world's reached you. Okay? And it just doesn't stack up with Scripture. Wherefore, come out from among him, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Come on. What fellowship does light have with darkness? So the old paths are not a new path. Come on. Walk the Bible way. Let's walk that way. Read your Bible daily. Don't forget to pray. The old path is the Bible path. The old path is the Bible way. Number three, the old paths are paths. Deep stuff. Now think about that. Come on. It's nice being a country boy. It's nice being somebody that enjoys being out in nature. I spent a lot of time in the woods. Some of you that, you know, you don't go out in the woods. I had a guy years ago. We were taking the young men. I taught P.E. one year. At Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I taught P.E. Say, well, what'd you do? I took them out in the woods. Taught them to shoot bows, throw knives, climb trees, you know. I don't know if that was P.E. or not, but we had a good time, you know. He came to me and he said, he had a little article he wanted to show me. Brown recluse spider. And he said, have you ever heard of these things? It's a brown recluse spider. I said, yeah. He said, they're out in the woods. I said, yeah, there's a lot of spiders out there. There's other stuff. Yeah, there is. Well, do you really think it's wise to have our boys out there? Yeah, I really do. No, let's stay home and play video games, amen. But when you're out in the woods, you know what? You may not know it if you're not out in the woods, if you never go in the woods. I don't care where you go. You show me whatever wilderness. You go out west, and I mean where there's tens of thousands of acres without a road going through it. And let me tell you what is going through it.
Yep.
Paths.
Got it right. There
is. Every mountain, there's paths. Come on. Every single piece of woods, there's a path in that woods.
There is.
Okay? Now think about this. How's a path formed?
It's
good for us. Come on. I want to get you where you're reading the Bible and actually thinking about it. We need to start thinking about what we read. How is a path formed?
Come on.
The reason there's a path there is because there's been a lot of people that have walked the same place. Same place, same place, same place. Generations, 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 generations. Folks, listen. There's only one thing that has guided people down the right path. Generation after generation after generation after generation. And I don't care how bad the culture is, there's always been a remnant of people that said, I'm going to walk the Bible way, read the Bible daily. I'm not going to forget to pray. I'm walking on the old path. The old path. That's where I'm going. Come on, it was good for my daddy. It was good enough for me. It was good for my grandpa. It was good enough for me. Amen. Good for Pastor Elmer Evans. You'll hear about him tonight. You know what? It's good enough for me. It was good enough for my second pastor, Pastor Felix Griffith. It's good enough for me. It's good enough for my third pastor, Pastor Robert Ross. It's good enough for me. Let's just stay on the path. Hey, young people, just stay on the path. Stay on the path. Well, Brother Nathan, me and you, we've all done it, where all of a sudden we're walking down a path and all of a sudden we keep look up to the right and we think, well, that'd be a better way to go. That's an easier way to go. There's usually a reason that there's not a path going that way. And you usually don't realize it until you've gone that way a little ways. Then you figure out there's a reason. Listen, the animals are making the paths. The animals are making the paths, okay? And you know what? They're showing you the way to get through the woods. And when you get off the path, there's a reason they don't go that way. Now, folks, why can't we get to the Word of God and just have some spiritual discernment about us? Come on, young people. You don't need to chase every new thing out there. Okay, you don't need to grab every new version of the Bible that comes out. Don't get enthralled with every new music group that comes out. Don't get into this contemporary music, all that junk. Just, you know what? Just stick with the tried and true. Just stick with the old time religion. So, you know what? We got to stand. How do we save America? Somebody's got to just stop in their tracks, stand in the ways and see. Consider where we're going. And is it the right way? And you know what? Then ask. Come on, for the old paths. And then the Bible says, walk therein.
Yes, sir.
Walk therein. Now think about that. That may seem simple, but old paths require commitment.
Right.
Requires a commitment. I've seen a lot of people get on the old paths and walk for a while. The Bible doesn't say walk for a while. It says walk therein.
Yep.
Come on, you must stay. Listen, you can't just choose the old path. You can't just ask for the old path. You can't just start down the old path. You need to stay on the old paths. Think about that. Doesn't say walk therein until it's unpopular.
Nope, that's right.
Come on, doesn't say walk therein until somebody criticizes you.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't say walk therein until you are called a cult member because you simply believe this book.
Yeah.
Doesn't say walk therein as long as it's politically correct.
Yeah, right.
You know what it says? It says walk therein.
You
got it. And so some of these men were bringing in, you know what? You know why I chose them? Because they got on the old paths when they were young and they just have walked therein.
Amen.
They've just stuck with it. They've just stayed with it. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Say, preacher, what's the benefit of it? Did you see that? Why? Why choose the path, the old path, and just stick with it so you can find rest for your soul?
Yeah.
Folks, let me finish by saying this. The old paths are a choice. Did you look at the end of verse 16? The old paths are a choice. I can preach it. I can holler. I can warn. But young people, listen to me. Jeremiah was doing the same thing. And you know what their reaction was? Look at the end of verse 16.
Yeah.
You know what? What did they say? We will not walk therein.
Yeah.
Look at verse number 17. Let me read it. Look at verse number 17. Also, I set a watchman over you.
Right.
Look right up here.
Yes, sir.
Yep, that's right.
Okay? That's not being proud.
No.
The only reason I'm here is because God called me.
Amen.
Buddy, I'm going to stand. Listen, I'm going to stand before God and answer for whether or not I was a watchman. Whether or not I sounded the warning, whether or not I blew the trumpet, whether or not I pleaded with the next generation.
Yep.
Choose the old path. Make sure you're listening to the right people. Choose them and stick with them and stay with them. You know.
Come on.
But you know what they said at the end of that verse? Watch this. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. End of verse 16, we will not walk therein. End of verse 17, we will not hearken. You know, the old paths are a choice. I made my choice. I'm going to walk the Bible way.
Amen.
I'm sticking to old time religion. I'm sticking to Bible Christianity. I'm sticking to the path that points me to a holy God. I'm sticking to a path, come on now, that points me to a holy Bible. I'm going to the path that encourages me to live a holy life. And I'm going down a path that keeps me involved in a holy cause. And you know what, folks? If you'll stay on that path, you will be glad at the end of your life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God. Already politicians are lining up and promises are being made and so many things that we're watching in our country. And so many, dear God, different groups of people. And some of them, dear God, demonically driven. And they want to destroy this nation and they're pointing people to the wrong paths. Lord, I pray, dear God, there'd be a generation of preachers this year that would stand up and lift up their voice like a trumpet and show the people their sins. Hold our leaders to account to urge a nation back to old-time religion. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd work in the hearts of the young people in this room. Lord, help them be careful what they're reading, who has influence, what they're watching on the internet. Lord, I pray that they just stick with the King James Holy Bible, dear God. Just get into it and love it and read it and study it and obey it. Lord, I pray, dear God, for that young lady that just, come on, she's been vacillating back and forth, kind of pulled by the world. She just needs to come to an altar this morning and says, God, I'm going to choose to walk therein. I'm going to choose the old paths. Lord, I pray for that young man. The devil's been attacking him and questioning the Bible in his mind, just like he did Eve, just like he did Eve, hath God said. Somebody's gotten into his life and is having influence and trying to pull him off the old path. I pray, Lord, they get to an altar. Lord, not just teenagers. God, you don't, Lord, help those, because the devil, he goes after everybody, every one of us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, dear God. To just choose it, to make the choice. The whole rest of the world can say, well, I'm not going to walk that way. Oh, there needs to be a handful of young people stand up and say, well, I will. I choose it. I'll walk it. The whole world is listening to Bible preaching and say, we aren't going to do that. We're not hearkening into that. Oh, we need a generation of young people scattered across this nation that says, I'll listen to it. I'll hear it. I'll seek it. I want to know. Lord, please, dear God, bring revival. Bring revival to our nation. Bring revival to our church. Bring revival to our individual hearts, we pray in Jesus' name.